Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Giddy up and welcome in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, on demand. Find us in iTunes, SoundCloud. This show is everywhere. Hope you're having a good weekend. Feeling good. Off weekend for the Cup Series. Of course, you kind of need that after the beating and banging at Bristol like we had last Saturday night. Always fun at the Bristol Motor Speedway. One of my favorite tracks to go to. If you've never been there, you need to go check it out live and in person. But it was definitely a fun weekend. Kurt Busch gets the win. We don't have a member of the Big Three in victory lane. And I told you on the show last week that I felt like the safe bet was Kyle Busch. I guess I was half right. At least I got one of the Busch brothers. But it's interesting because, you know, I was sitting there watching the race, and Kurt Busch ends up in victory lane, and I think about it, and that I said when we started the show, and we did, it was like the third or the fourth episode, and I did a whole segment on Stuart Haas Racing and just the resurgence of Stuart Haas Racing. Kevin Harvick, of course, leading the charge, but Clint Bowyer had gotten two wins on the year, and I said I felt like Kurt Busch was going to be in a position, just because of the way he had been running all year long, that he was going to be in a position to get a win. And he ends up doing that last Saturday night at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Now in the playoffs, I think he was pretty much going to make it anyway. Fourth in the standings, you know, for Kurt Busch. So he was going to be in, but now he's in with a win. And I think those playoff points puts him in a great position. But Kurt Busch has been quietly consistent throughout the year. And so just pretty cool to see him get in victory lane. And people forget, when you look at Kurt Busch and his career, is a former champion, but this was his sixth win at the Bristol Motor Speedway in his career. A lot of people, because of recency bias, want to look at Kyle and how good he is there. But this is his first victory in 2018. But you look at his stats at Bristol. That's where he got his first win. Six victory. 18th top 10 finish in 36 races at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Now, he's struggled at times since they redid the track, since they put the new concrete down, but it looks like he's finally figured it out and ends up in victory lane. It was a wild night, but we will start with the guy that was having the party, and that is Kurt Busch with NBC.
It was awesome to be in this position. When you race at a short track on Saturday night, it brings back all the memories of growing up as a kid and racing with your dad and your family. And I didn't want to let my dad down. He's here tonight. And my wife said, go out there and go get him, show what it's all about. And it was just perfect with the restarts. And I can't thank Monster Energy enough. This Ford was awesome. And thanks to all the great fans. This was an awesome, awesome win for us.
How about these fans right here pressed up against the fence to see you, Kurt?
These guys are awesome. Everybody here knows what this Saturday night short track's all about, and we got the best fans in sports. So thank you guys. Thank you so much. Good show, huh?
Kurt Busch, right after the victory, talking with Marty Snyder of NBC, and it was a great show. The fans are always great at the Bristol Motor Speedway, passionate fans here in the Southeast, and, you know, for him, it is kind of like a homecoming because that's where he got his first win. He's always been a short track kind of racer. And I think we're seeing Kurt Busch now, which is funny amidst all these rumors, because he, like last year, doesn't have a contract for next year with Stuart Haas. He's rumored for about every open ride there is. I would say he's in the back half of his career, but he's having a heck of a year. Fourth in the standings, now has a win. I mean, he's been very, very good. So Kurt Busch could possibly be, and I'm gonna say this about several different guys, but you know, you'll hear from Alan Cavana from Fox Sports here in just a little bit. He's gonna join us for a couple segments here in the show. And you know, I've kind of asked this question to a lot of different guests that have been on this show, Bob Pockris and even Daryl Waltrip a few weeks ago, who the fourth guy would be. And I'm curious to see what Alan Cavana has to say, because earlier in the year, I would have said, Clint Bowyer. Earlier in the year, I might have said Kyle Larson. A few weeks ago, I could have said Chase Elliott. Now I'm kind of thinking Kurt Busch, because you look at the consistency that he has had throughout the year, and now he has that win with those bonus points, and I think that that can help him. Could he be that guy? Could he have won at the right time? Here was his answer.
Hey, winning's great anytime, no matter how long there was in between. The motivation's always there, and to have a group of guys like Billy and so many first-time winners on this crew of the 41 car. I remember winning my first race here at Bristol, and we all got special rings. I'm going to get all the guys' rings for their first win. It's big. It's a moment, and I've been pushing hard to get those guys to victory lane, and I'm glad I can deliver. And for me, you never waver. You keep focused, and the timing was perfect with our team gelling and this, Bristol night race, you go after it. And then with the rumors on the outside, it's all rumors, and you just stay focused. Just stay laser focused on the task, and that's what I love, putting my helmet on, even though I left my helmet, I guess, out on the track after I won. I'll have to go find another one, but yeah, you put that helmet on, and it's go time. Perfect. Can I make top five helmet tosses?
Kurt Busch. In the media press conference, yes, he left his helmet on top of the car and drove off with it. His brother Kyle made fun of him. You'll hear from Kyle here in just a second. But you heard him mention several things. The crew gelling together. He's got a new crew chief this year, Billy Scott. So he got his first win as crew chief. You heard him make reference to the rumors. Again, he is rumored for every open ride available and even the ones that aren't. I mean, just any ride, you automatically can pencil in Kurt Busch if you believe everything you read on the internet. But he talked about the focus and that his team has gelled and they have had focus and it got them to victory lane. I think that's a dangerous combination to have right now. Now, it's a long playoff. He's going to have to perform in the playoff. The big three will have to perform in the playoff. I don't like the way this playoff format is set up. You can't just say that, okay, well, three of the four spots at Homestead, we go ahead and write in ink that it's going to be Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. Can't do that. Not with this format. Wouldn't shock me at all if there's an upset somewhere. It's just like in the NFL. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots went 16-0. What ended up happening? They lost in the Super Bowl. Nothing is given. So, Kurt Busch is a guy that has been consistent enough that he could sneak in there and make it interesting. Chase Elliott, one of those guys. Also, another one of those guys that I mentioned earlier was Kyle Larson, who ended up finishing second. He sat on the pole in this race and was upset that he came home second place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to finish second. You know, that's probably 12 to 15 spots, I feel like, better than where I deserve to finish. Our car is just really bad. I got lucky all night lining up, in the right lanes. I could gain three or four spots every restart and then, just fight to hang on there. And then I'd be, terrible at the end of the runs. There was two runs there where the leaders, I think, were a half straightaway back from lapping me. So, thought my car was going to be really good after practice yesterday. Probably should have spent a little more time around the bottom to work on our balance there to make it better. But, just probably the most frustrating Bristol race I've had, just because I never really felt like I had a shot to win.
And that's what's interesting. He comes home second and he's frustrated. I mean, I get it. It was a tough night for him, but you could have worse if you by not coming home second. So Kyle Larson still hasn't found victory lane. I'm kind of moving on from him being the fourth guy. And I know that Kurt Busch is kind of that flavor of the week, and it's easy to kind of to say that he could be the guy. But Chase Elliott also had a good night. He finished third and was feeling pretty good about it after the race.
To be honest, had a great car and was really good through those mid stages and was really able to capitalize and lead some laps and got kind of tight right after that. And once we got it fixed back, it was really good again and just got the bottom on some of those late race restarts, minus that very last one. Just just hated it. I had a car that I felt like could contend with those guys when we had it right, and we got it right there at the end. So needed to capitalize tonight. This was a great racetrack for us, and pretty unfortunate we didn't.
Chase Elliott finishes third, but upset, couldn't capitalize and get the win. Now, here's a guy that his confidence has just skyrocketed since he got that first win. I mean, Hendrick Motorsports as a whole, they've been running better. You know, there's been decent runs out of Bowman, out of Chase Elliott. Alex Bowman finishes eighth in this race. Jimmy Johnson ninth. So it was a good night overall for Hendrick Motorsports. William Byron still trying to figure out the Cup Series, I think. But just the confidence that this kid has had since that win, and even before that, just with the consistency, makes you wonder just what his playoff is going to look like. Because I feel like some of these guys that only have one or two wins going into the playoffs could really turn it on in the playoff and get a win. The Roval's going to be a wild card because nobody knows what to expect. Talladega is going to be a wild card because that's Talladega. So there's opportunity for some of these other drivers to go to victory lane outside of the big three once they get into the playoffs, because I think the big three could be so uber focused on points and running well that it's going to open the door for some other guys to get in there and steal some wins. That's why NASCAR created this format, because I think it's going to make it really exciting. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app, on demand at thegamenashville.com. Alan Cavana from Fox Sports is going to join us here in just a little bit, but when we come back, take a look at the Busch brothers and their legacy. Kurt Busch hit a milestone with his win at Bristol. Plus, Kyle Busch and Martin Truex. Talk about that. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 1025. Hey, what's going on? It's Chase McCabe. Check out my podcast, Through the Ropes. We talk all things professional wrestling. I have a different co-host every week. You can check it out in the on-demand section of thegamenashville.com, on Apple iTunes, and also on the air on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, it's true. It's true. We're back here, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Chase McCabe here with you as always, Chase on Game on Twitter. Talking the NASCAR. Also have Through the Ropes, new podcast about wrestling. Check that out as well at thegamenashville.com. Both are on iTunes and SoundCloud as well. So we're kind of wrapping things up, talking about Bristol, and we'll get into some news and notes. Alan Cavana coming up here in just a little bit. He will join us from Fox Sports. He's a NASCAR reporter, also covering the Truck Series this weekend. We talked a lot about Kurt Busch and getting his first win of the season, and he's fourth in the standings. He's got a win now. He could be in contention of being a guy to challenge the big three. Well, little brother Kyle, of course, is a big part of the big three, has six wins on the year, had a rough night at the Bristol Motor Speedway, caught in several accidents, including one on lap two, but he was also responsible for ending the night of another member of the big three, Martin Truex Jr. Here's Kyle Busch on that incident.
Yeah, totally my fault. Oh, man, I feel terrible about that. Obviously, I just misjudged it by a little bit. 4 inches, 6 inches, whatever, you name it. I got in the gas and was coming up off the corner and was going to slide in behind him. I didn't think I was next to him yet, and I just barely clipped him and sent him for a whale of a ride. So hopefully he's all right and everything's okay there. I hate it that I clipped him. I know he could have had a good shot to win the race, too.
Kyle Busch, after the race and the incident with Martin Truex Jr., and it's good to hear him apologize because, you know, we've seen time and time again, he's always, you know, the one that says, like, look, you race me that way, I'll race you that way. You know, he's taking shots at Ricky Stenhouse for not calling him after wrecking him. I don't know if those two have talked this week. I'm going to assume they probably have. They have a relationship, the Joe Gibbs racing relationship. Truex is not the kind of guy that goes around and you know, gets in situations like this. So I feel like Kyle Busch has probably reached out and apologized. It was one of those things that he didn't mean to do. It just was a product of racing at Bristol. But I do understand Martin Truex Jr. being upset. Here was him after the wreck.
I just got hit in the left rear. Pretty simple. I mean, it's a shame. We had a good night going. Started off rough, battled hard, and got the car pretty good there. So, you know, I don't know, just got hit in the left rear.
We saw the frustration out of you after that. Is this intensity just short track racing, or is it as the playoffs are approaching?
It's just Bristol. You know, it's trying to get that first short track win. You know, this place has been so hard on us. I mean, I can't even explain to you how good we've run here in the past 3-4 years, and crap like this every single time. It's like it's one thing after another. So it sucks that it happened, but you know, at the end of the day, it's racing to Bristol. I feel like I probably should have took the lead there. I probably should have bumped 14 out of the way just to get the lead, and I wouldn't have been in that position. So sometimes you're the nice guy, and you get knocked out of the way. So we'll just have to race him a little harder next time.
Martin Truex Jr. With Kelly Stavis from NBC Sports. Of course, upset after being knocked out of the race. Again, Kyle Busch not intentionally doing it. For the Kyle Busch fans out there, you're going, yeah, that's right. For the ones that aren't, you're going, yeah, he wrecked him. But to each their own. But you heard him make the comment that, look, sometimes I'm just a nice guy. Well, you know what? That's what he is. And I think Martin Truex Jr. has made a career out of being a nice guy. He's like Mark Martin. He's raced people the right way. And it's paid off for him. I mean, he won a championship. Interesting with him that he's taken out. Kyle Busch finishes 20th, three laps down. Kevin Harvick finishes 10th. So just not a good night for the big three overall. And I kind of think most of you listening to this, unless you are a fan of those drivers, you're probably like, well, it was nice to see something different. It was nice to have other people fighting for the win. It was nice to have a top three that consisted of Kurt Busch getting his first win of the year, Kyle Larson in second, Chase Elliott third, Joey Logano fourth, Eric Jones fifth. Guys that we haven't talked about a ton because we're always talking about the big three. So, you know, for some of you, it was okay. But with Kyle Busch, I do applaud him for kind of taking ownership of that situation. And, you know, he had a rough night overall, as I said, and was asked about it by Dave Burns of NBC. Interesting answer out of KB.
I don't know if there was any highs. I don't know what you're talking about.
Coming back through the field?
That's just me and this team and never giving up and being able to drive up through the field like that. The M&M's Camry was fast, even torn up and beat up and wrecked and everything else. It was fast. And we had a shot to win the race there. Just got to racing with guys three wide and couldn't get clear of them. I was boxed in by the 11. The 11 was choking up the top in front of me. And every straightaway I was side by side with them. I just wanted to clear them. If I could ever get clear of them, I could shoot to the bottom and get by the 11. But we were just kind of stuck and mired where we were. Maybe if we would have stayed out, you know, Monday morning quarterback, if we would have stayed out, we would have inherited the fourth starting position on that restart and been ahead of all that. So, you know, ifs, ands, or buts, we never should even have been in that spot with how torn up this race car was. We probably finished where we should have, but we had a shot anyways. And
big brother.
Well, congratulations to Kurt. That's cool, but he just forgot his helmet on the roof and just chunked his helmet. So I have something else for him. I'll tell him in private.
That's Kyle Busch with Dave Burns of NBC Sports after the race. A couple things. Pretty funny that he witnessed Kurt chunk the helmet off the top of the car and got to congratulate his big brother on the win. You can tell, though, that those two, I mean, they have a respect for each other. They congratulate one another, but they're competitive. They don't like it when they lose and the other one wins. So Kyle Busch, now, one thing I will say, I have been hard on Kyle Busch when I needed to be, but I will give some credit to him. He took the time to talk to Dave Burns after the race, and he, in the past, would not have. I think in the past, after finishing 20th, three laps down and wrecking as much as he did not have a good night. It would have been very easy for him to say no and walk off. But he took it like a champ, like a champion, as a former champ. He knows that he's very much in the news as one of the big three, and he took the time to talk about his night and how it wasn't a good night and took ownership for the mistake he made with Truex. And so I applaud him for that. I think that was very classy by Kyle Busch to do that. And, you know, maybe he's starting to mature and show some signs of that's how he's going to conduct himself. I love the competitive side of him, but there are times where, you know, he kind of needs to do a little bit more when he loses. And I'll leave it at that. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you. So it was a monumental night for the Busch brothers because Kurt Busch won his 30th Cup Series race. Well, that's significant because Kyle and Kurt now both have 30 or more wins in the Cup Series, and they're the first tandem of brothers to do that in NASCAR. And here is Kurt Busch talking about getting that 30th win.
I always wanted to get to 30. This is a big win for me tonight. I grew up at Roush Racing watching a guy named Mark Martin help me. He was a great mentor, and I looked up to him as a racer. And he had, I don't know, 33, 34 wins. You've worked with Mark. I think he might have ended his career with 40. And I said early on, before I'd even won my first ever race, I'm like, if I can get to 30, that's a pretty special career. Made it tonight. I'm choked up about it. I really love this win tonight. And to have six Bristol trophies is special.
And he went on to discuss just kind of the legacy that he and Kyle have created as brothers. And, you know, there's a bit of an age gap between those two. Kyle's in his early 30s, and Kurt, I believe, is hovering around the 40 mark. He's 40 exactly. So, you know, there's 7-8 years in between those two. And I think, you know, you look at the careers of both of them, Kyle has probably, you know, he is by far been more successful just with how many races he has won in all of the three national series in NASCAR. The truck wins, the Xfinity wins, the Cup wins, of course. He's won championships in the series, in the three national series, Cup Series and Xfinity. He's been lights out, especially when he got to Joe Gibbs Racing. But I think people also will forget that, as I said earlier in the show, Kurt Busch is just, he's had his own success. He's a former champion, winning the championship in 2004, the first year of the Chase, as it was then known. He's won the Daytona 500. So he has been successful, and to me is now with 30 wins, you know, I think he's a Hall of Famer. We know Kyle Busch is going to be in the Hall of Fame. You have the Labonte brothers that, you know, they've been had their success. Daryl Waltrip, Michael Waltrip. Michael, of course, finding some success later in his career, winning two Daytona 500s. Daryl, the three-time champion, of course. But you look at brothers in the series, and the Busch brothers stand out ahead of anybody. And so I think that that's kind of a part of the story with him getting that win, that 30th win, and just what it means not only for his legacy personally, but the legacy of the Busch brothers overall. And so a great night for Kurt, a bad night for Kyle, but ultimately a good night for the Busch family, their dad, of course, in attendance, which was really cool. So Kurt gets that win. What does that mean with two regular season races left? Who has work to do? Those questions I will answer right now. Alan Cavana coming up, going to end the show with us from Fox Sports. So I look at the standings, and let me pull these up here on the old computer. If you look at the playoff standings, right now we know these drivers have clinched their spot into the playoffs. Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Clint Bowyer, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, Kurt Busch, Eric Jones, Austin Dillon, Ryan Blaney, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Larson. They are in, whether it be by wins or points, they are in. The guys that are on the bubble, well, first I'll start. Somebody in good shape. Denny Hamlin is in good shape, plus 214 above the cut line. Eric Almirola, who has had a nice first year with Stuart Haas Racing, he is 14th in points, plus 165 above the cut line. Jimmy Johnson, 15th. Plus 111 above the cut line. I think he's safe in the last two races. Just can't have anything crazy happen. Alex Bowman would be the last driver in. He is plus 79 above the cut line. And then on the outside looking in, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Ryan Newman, Daniel Suarez, Paul Menard. those are the four drivers that have a mathematical chance of getting in with the last two regular season races. Now, if somebody gets a win, that, of course, changes everything. You got to be in the top 30 in points and have a win for that automatic qualifier. Guys that I think have the best chance of winning at either Darlington or Indianapolis, you can't rule out Jimmy Johnson at either of those places. I don't think Bowman is quite there. I think he's been running well, but I'm not sure, you know, just being a guy that they're going to two tracks that he hasn't run at in a while. So I think that that's a possibility of probably not happening. Daniel Suarez, kind of the same boat. He's been consistent as of late. That's been good to see. Newman, I really don't think so. Paul Menard has won at Indianapolis before. There's always that chance again, but you know, AJ Allmendinger, maybe they haven't been strong. So really, I kind of think the drivers, albeit outside of a major surprise, what we have right now with the top 16 is probably it. The only change I could possibly see is Bowman falling out if he has some trouble, and maybe Stenhouse sneaking in or somebody else getting a win. But I think this is the 16 we're going to go with. So when you look at this field of 16 in the last two races, you have Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch that are fighting for a regular season title. And Kyle has a 43-point lead over Kevin Harvick. And as I stated, I believe it was last week, the biggest difference there is Kevin Harvick has three DNFs. Kyle Busch has two DNFs. That's really the big difference for them. Kevin has 7 wins. Kyle has 6 wins. Their top fives are 17 apiece. Kevin has 20 top tens. Kyle has 19 top tens. Stage wins, Harvick has 12. Kyle has 5 playoff points. Kevin has 40 and Kyle Busch has 35. So once they reseed and you get into the playoff, then Kevin Harvick's going to be the number one seed. But points wise, Kyle Busch has 43 points on Kevin Harvick. So regular season title could be decided here in the next two races, Darlington, Indianapolis. Going to be exciting when we get to Darlington because of the throwback weekend. But there's still a lot that we can discuss. We'll talk to Alan Cavana from Fox Sports. See him on Race Hub. He's a pit reporter for the Truck Series as well. He will join us next as Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and online, The Game Nashville app.
What's up, Smashville? This is Ryan Porth here to tell you Preds Insiders will continue this summer on demand as we keep you up to date with all things Preds. Catch the newest edition of the Preds Insiders podcast every Wednesday at thegamenashville.com and throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Chase McCabe here with you as always, and pleased to be joined by Fox Sports NASCAR reporter. He's a pit reporter. You see him on Race Hub. Alan Cavana is on the line with us. Alan, how you doing?
Oh, doing great. We're at that time of year. It's a long season, really, racing is, but we're at that time of year where the trucks are starting their playoff, the cup guys are running toward the playoff, and it's just a good time of year as we push toward the fall.
Yeah, and let's lead off with the Truck Series because you're a part of their coverage and you have been all year long. Fox has the exclusive rights to the Camping World Truck Series, and they kick off the playoffs a little bit early just because of how their schedule shakes out. Going to the Canadian Tire Speedway this weekend in Canada, Johnny Sauter seems to be the guy right now. He's the leader of the pack. He won the regular season title. Is he the odds-on favorite in this playoff with the Truck Series?
Absolutely. Just because of the way he's run all year, you'd be foolish not to look at him as the favorite in the Truck Series just because he has the 5 wins. I mean, he is essentially, you know, they talk about the big 3 or the big 1 up there in the Cup Series, say Kevin Harvick with his 7 wins. He's the Kevin Harvick of the Truck Series right now, you know, and how he went through the regular season getting all those wins. The most intriguing part of the truck playoff is this first round for them because they are starting at a road course. This road course up in Canada, it's one of the best races ever here because of the action it can bring, generally like a road course, but it's never been in the playoff before. So that's really going to throw a wrench in some people's plans if if you don't navigate this thing. You know, not every driver is a great road course driver. Johnny Sauter admits to not being a great road course driver. Thankfully, with the playoff system the way it is, he kind of gets a buffer, kind of a safety, if you will, and having some bonus points heading into the playoff. But it should be exciting because, remember, the win, any winner automatically advances. If you're one of the eight playoff guys, you win this race on Sunday, you advance to the next round automatically. So that's a boon for somebody, but it could also, you know, make or break someone's season if you don't navigate the lefts and rights up there. And we've seen the last 2 years, this race always ends with some good action and sometimes a fight, unfortunately.
And the thing about the truck series that intrigues me, especially now with how it's constructed, I mean, we see a lot of young drivers that are cutting their teeth in NASCAR, and they're on that stair-step plan of going to the trucks, Xfinity, and then eventually to the Cup Series. But you have two guys that really stand out to me, and Johnny Sauter and Matt Crafton, that always seem to find their way there at the top, that those are the guys that you're going to have to deal with, and there are others. But how important is that for these young drivers to deal with that veteran presence as they get ready to go to the next series?
That's a great question. We asked that this week on Race Hub. We had Trucks Media Day at our studio, and I talked specifically to Matt Crafton and Johnny Sauter because they are the only two champions, former champions, among the eight playoff drivers. And I asked them how valuable that experience is, knowing you can do it, knowing you've been through this gauntlet before. And they both smiled and said it was invaluable because they know that pressure. They know how to overcome the pressure. You think of a guy like Matt Crafton, who's been through everything, and it took him a while to win his first title. And he said the most nervous he's been in his entire career is making that first run at winning a championship, knowing he was in that position. And then the second time around when he did it, he knew the ups and downs. He could sleep better at night going into those final races as you progress, because every one of these races only gets more pressure on it. And they really do believe, Sauter and Crafton, that is an advantage over these young kids. Like you said, I mean, you're dealing with sometimes 18, 19-year-olds, people that have been in their first, second, or third years, maybe racing in top national series. And that experience for Crafton and Sauter will help them if they can get through sort of crazy races like the road course in Canada. And don't forget, Talladega is also in that first round. So as long as they can navigate that, they stand a better chance of getting better and better as we go through this playoff.
Yeah, NASCAR didn't make it easy on these drivers. They wanted to make it interesting early on in the playoffs.
Yeah, and look, from a fan's perspective, from an entertainment perspective, there are two early wild cards in this truck playoff, and that's what makes it exciting to watch.
So you have the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park hosting the Truck Series this weekend. The Chevrolet Silverado 250, you can catch it at 1:30 Central Time on FS1, and Alan Cavana is our guest. He will be a part of that coverage. So it's an off weekend for the Cup Series. They'll go to Darlington next weekend for the Throwback Weekend, which is one of those cool things that NASCAR and Darlington has put together. Really excited to see the paint schemes and the old school coverage, but do we think that we've hit the point in the season where, yes, the big three, you can't count them out every week? We know Kevin Harvick has 7 wins, but we're starting to see some other drivers creep in there too. Kurt Busch got his first win of the season at Bristol. You had Chase Elliott finally break through a few weeks ago. Is there a driver, Alan, that stands out to you in the Cup Series that could be that surprise that could challenge the big three?
Well, for the title, that's hard to say. Look, I mean, we're talking a season-long dominance here for those three drivers. At a place like Darlington, I do look for a driver like what we saw with Kurt Busch in Bristol. I mean, Kurt Busch has been on right there on the edge of winning. You know, he's led laps. He's had the speed. He's with one of the best teams. He just hadn't got that checkered flag yet. It wasn't so much of a surprise to see him in victory lane just because of how he's won all year. Something similar I would expect in Darlington is a guy like Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin has won that race before, the Southern 500. He's with one of the best teams in Joe Gibbs Racing, and he's been working, right? I mean, we've seen him lead laps. We've seen him be fast. What we haven't seen him, uncharacteristically, we haven't seen him in victory lane yet. And if you're going to chase a title, you have to win. I mean, the winning is so important in the playoffs. Technically, I guess you could fourth place, second place your way to a title, but not really. I mean, winning is what means survival in this form of the NASCAR playoff. And Denny Hamlin has to show he can win, I think, before we get to the playoff. And Darlington is one of those places he could certainly do that. Now, in terms of an outsider outside of the big three really contending, for the title when we get to Homestead, that's hard to say because it comes down to that one race. You know, who can be good in that one final race? You have to think of a guy like Kyle Larson. If he can be there in that final race, he's awesome at Homestead. And if it only comes down to one race and what you're good at and the first 35 are thrown out the window in terms of your reputation and your record, you expect a guy like Kyle Larson can certainly compete with the top three. That's kind of the beauty of the playoff, right? I mean, you have the big three, but let's say you wanted to put them in Homestead no matter what. No matter what the circumstances, you're going to put them in Homestead. Remember, there's four people going for the championship at Homestead, so there's going to be at least one other driver, other than the big three, competing against them, if that's the way you want to go with it, for the title. So there's going to be one other person. It's just a matter of who it is, and they're going to have an equal shot in that final race of the season if we're automatically putting the big three for the championship. And a guy like Kyle Larson can certainly go out there and win it, but there's nine races before that. He has to perform. He's been the best Chevrolet driver. The Hendrick cars, you mentioned Chase Elliott. They've been ascending, I think, throughout the summer as they had a pretty crappy year, to start the season. They've been ascending a little bit. They need to show something. I don't want to count Jimmy Johnson out yet. I think he'd be foolish to count out a guy with seven championships and 80-plus wins. I mean, you would be foolish to count them out just yet. Again, another team, though, that needs to get a victory just for their own sanity's sake and just to show the rest of the field, hey, we still got it. It's going to be hard to beat the big three, but at least one other driver is going to have that shot in Homestead.
And that's where I'm torn, Alan. Alan Cavana on the line with us talking NASCAR in the playoffs. But this is where I'm torn because I'm a race fan, but I'm also a journalist, so I have to be objective. But you know, when I look at the big three, it makes the most sense to say, all right, they're going to go to Homestead. They're going to be the ones contending for the championship. As you said, there will be a fourth driver, but the way the playoffs are set up, it may not work out that way. Would we be disappointed? Would the fans be disappointed if one of those three did not walk away with the championship just because the way the format is?
Well, if you're a fan of that driver, maybe. I think fans also, if you're not a fan of the big three, you also like unpredictability. I think if there's any knock against the big three, you're A, not a fan of one of them, and B, you just want some unpredictability, right? Like you want to have a guy like Kurt Busch go out there and see someone other than the big three get a victory. You're surprised when Chase Elliott wins. You're like, hey, there's another possibility other than these three drivers of winning on Sunday. Again, with the format the way it is, the way you get to Homestead automatically, right, is winning one of the three races before Homestead. So a Phoenix winner, a Texas winner, or a Martinsville winner. Let's say Brad Keselowski. He's not having the greatest year. He's not competing with the top three all the time, right? He doesn't have his win yet. But he's certainly a driver that can win at Texas. He's certainly a driver that can win in Martinsville. No matter what you've done in the other previous 30-plus races, if you win one of those last three races, you're in, baby. You're in. You are one of the four at Homestead, which creates one less spot for the big three. So, I mean, that's what keeps the competition going. That's what makes winning so essential. That's why you cannot rest on your laurels, no matter how big of a gap you have, because the more different winners you have in the round before the championship, that's one less spot potentially for one of these big three, no matter how many wins they have. So it's still up in the air no matter what you can do. That's why winning is so important.
We're talking to Alan Cavana. He'll be a part of the coverage for FS1. You can catch the race Sunday at 1:30 from Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. The Truck Series kicks off their playoff. But staying with the theme of these young drivers and winning, Chase Elliott, I mentioned, got his first win in the Cup Series a few weeks ago. And we were spoiled for a long time of having these faces of NASCAR. You had Dale Jr., of course, Jimmy Johnson, as you mentioned, the seven-time champion, Tony Stewart. Well, they're all walking away. Casey Kane announced that he is stepping away from full-time competition, Elliott Sadler as well. So we are in that transitional period for the sport of bringing in these younger drivers. We've seen some personality out of some of these guys, Alan. What do you think the faces of this sport look like here in the next few years as these older drivers walk away?
I think the talent-wise, I mean, the field is stacked in terms of the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, who could come up from there, and the Truck Series. I mean, we're seeing great driver development. We're seeing a lot of talent. We're seeing drivers at young ages get experience early in the Cup Series, and that ultimately will benefit them if they're given the proper time, and it looks like we're in that era where they can get the proper time. So I think talent-wise will be great. It's just a matter of who's going to emerge and take that brass ring. You know, Kevin Harvick has said, look, remember at the beginning of the season, there was a little beef there in terms of the marketing of all these young faces, and look who are the people that are doing all the winning. Kevin Harvick is 41, 42 years old, and he's the man right now. Kyle Busch in his early 30s, he's the man right now. The defending champion is pushing 40. Martin Truex Jr., he's the man right now. These older guys, if that's what you want to call them, they're not going away too quickly. So it is up to these young drivers to start winning if they want to be the next real face of the sport long term. Chase Elliott has his popularity. He's got his first win. You hope it opens up the floodgates for Chase Elliott, the fan nation, if you will. But look, I mean, essentially, I think it's up for grabs, any of these young drivers. It's just a matter of who's going to go up and compete with the Truex, the Kyle Busches, and the Kevin Harvicks of the world. That's what I think will ultimately be judged on in terms of who is the next face of the sport. So far, I mean, you could count on, I think, one hand, you know, the Larson, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, you add up all their wins, you could almost still count on one hand how many wins they have total, and it's not even the total of what Kevin Harvick has this season. So some people are saying, whoa, slow your roll before you anoint anybody. I think it's still up in the air for someone to go out there and take it, and some of these young guys need to.
There was some rumblings out there that Casey Kane had turned down the opportunity to talk to Stewart Haas Racing about a ride. He announced last week he's stepping away from full time. Were you surprised by his decision and his reasoning, or did it kind of was the writing on the wall that maybe he was at the end, even though, you know, age wise he's still under 40 and could have a few years left?
Yeah, it was a surprise, frankly, because I just didn't know where he didn't expect that, because I think we have to realize, though, what we're seeing. I mean, Casey Kane has been in the sport a long time, and we're going to see drivers start. You know, Dale Jr. certainly had his issues with concussions, what have you. Elliott Sadler is in his early 40s. And look, I'm an old school fan. I remember back in the day, you know, Rusty, Dale Earnhardt. I mean, they were in their late 40s, pushing 50, and still going. Like Mark Martin, you know, we won't see that anymore. Late 40s, early 50s, because, you know, racers start so young now. They've been doing it since. You know, a guy like Will Byron, you know, he's 18 years old. By the time he's Dale Jr., Kevin Harvick's age, he'll have been doing this 22 years. I mean, can you imagine doing something professionally for 22 years and the grind that takes and just everything that goes along with it, traveling that much for 40 weeks a year for 22 years? I mean, it's crazy to think about. Only because, look, these drivers start out young now. So I think this may start being the new normal. Casey Kane has a young son. He wants to spend time with. It's hard to do that traveling 40 weeks a year. Casey Kane has won races. He's made money. And he's looking at maybe an environment that, there were rumblings about his ride, the 95, where it may go. If they switch to Toyota, will they bring in a new driver like Christopher Bell? Look, with all you've accomplished as Casey Kane, you're coming off being a Hendrick driver, and now you're with a team that's a smaller team, doesn't have the resources. You're not going to get the finishes you expect to contend for, that you're used to contending for. Do you really want to go through it again? Those are all questions that each driver has to ask themselves. And so from that perspective, I guess I see the reasons why. Look, it's a grind, but I still was sort of surprised. I didn't see that being the way out in terms of him, you know, walking away from full time, because he is such a young man. But I'm glad people get to go out on their own terms. Not everyone has always had that benefit, especially in the sport, and I'm glad drivers are starting to make their own decisions in that way.
And as we wrap this up, you mentioned you're an old school fan. How about Bill Elliott coming out of retirement, so to speak? He's going to race this weekend at Road America.
It's crazy. Bill Elliott is considered a rookie this weekend, believe that or not. He will have yellow stripes because he's never been at this track. And it's just crazy to think about. I believe he's in his 60s. I apologize if I'm aging you, Bill. But it was so cool to see him in victory lane. We did a great interview with him when Chase won, because he was actually Chase's spotter. On road courses, you have multiple spotters. And we learned this week that Chase will be up at Road America this weekend during his off weekend, spotting before his father.
Too cool.
In the 23 car. Oh, it's so cool up at Road America. So it'll be interesting. I was asked, this hurt that NASCAR drivers are athletes argument. I think his finish will be commensurate with his age and the time he's been off. But look, he's they call him Austin Mills for a reason. He's a NASCAR Hall of Famer because he is a good driver. I expect him to be better than any other 60-year-old out there. But I think the finish should be commensurate with his age. But you know, we'll see what it does. But it'll be fun to see him out there.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Alan, I appreciate the time this weekend. Enjoy Canada. We'll be watching 1:30 Central Time on FS1 as you guys have coverage of the first playoff race for the Camping World Truck Series from up there. Going to be fun to watch, and I know that you'll have a good time as well.
Yeah, I can't wait to be up there. And I got to say to all the fans in Nashville, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, and I still think it was a forward pass. So I'm going to leave you with that.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's a good way to walk off. Thanks, Alan.
Have a great one.
Alan Cavana from Fox Sports. Again, you can catch him in the pits. He'll be a part of NASCAR Race Hub as well as they get ready for the race from the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, the Chevrolet Silverado 250 this weekend, kicking off the playoffs for the Camping World Truck Series. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at Copa Cavana. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Chasing Checkers. Again, next weekend, can't wait. Throwback weekend at the Darlington Raceway. So we will have a lot to dive into with that. My thanks to Alan Cavana, and also check us out, thegamenashville.com on SoundCloud. You can find us on iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. Also check out my other podcast that I have launched here on ESPN 102.5. The game that is Through the Ropes, talk pro wrestling. Nick Kale, my co-host this week. We will talk to you next week, Throwback Weekend, here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and online at thegamenashville.com.